Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, foundation of baptism in our lives. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We human beings are very complex. We are complex in the interrelatedness of body, of mind, and spirit, the very life that gets us. And as we look at the parts of the whole, it can get complicated. Fortunately, along the way, there are people in time and place that help us understand such complexities and how to live in them. Abraham Maslow, famous psychologist of the 20th century, developed a paper in 1943 called The Theory of Human Motivation. And within that paper, he talked about which many, most if not all of you, are familiar with, and that is the hierarchy of needs. And he talked from a very human standpoint, but I believe that we can weave a faith place in this, how integrally we first need to have our physical needs met. And if we skip some of the hierarchy places, then we become out of sorts. They link together in the complexity of life. We need to have our basic needs met in food and water. Even as infants are born for the first time, that they are held, that they are coddled, that they know in some way that they are loved. And then that we have to have our safety needs met. Because if we constantly live in fear, it won't matter how good we have tended to our bodies or how well they are cared for. That we need shelter, that we need the love and care of one another to help us when we do fear, if it's rational or irrational, that we are cared for and that we are protected with one another. And then the third, which links and bridges the two before and the two after, and that is a sense of belongingness. And within that belongingness, to truly know that you are loved. Now, I don't believe that Maslow had it in mind that he would accent one more importantly over the other, but if I had to choose, it would be this third tier that, again, hinges from what comes before and what comes after that is so critical to our lives. A sense of belongingness, and within that belongingness, to know that we are loved. And then Maslow says that then we receive a higher, healthier sense of self-esteem. Our ego, feeling good about ourselves and with one another, and who we are and who we're becoming and what God intends us to be, would be the faith overlay in that. Our self-esteem, our confidence, and our openness to the way in which God has gifted us to be who we are. And then finally would be self-actualization. Example of great self-actualization would be those that have lived in the blessings of physical safety, of belongingness and love, and high self-esteem, and sharing that unselfishly with others, is that they, when they come to that point in their lives in which they transition from mortality to eternal life, and you are with them, you sense if they are able to speak, or if not, a peace over them. They have totally accepted, or as much as they possibly can, who they are, and the life that has been given them to live and to share and to pass on, and they trust in what God has done in all ways in their life. Again, at the center of all that development is belongingness and love. Do you feel a place of belongingness and love in your life? Have you heard words or have you seen actions from others to make you feel that you can say, no, not just with words that I belong and love, but that you truly are, and that you can pass that on to others? My father has shared with me, or did share with me, he's gone on to Church Triumphant, and he shared with others later in his life, and my father-in-law has shared, more difficult for him because he's more of a private person, but what they shared was that my father rarely heard, and my father-in-law never heard the words from their parents, I love you. Now, in some way, they may have sensed it, you know, that food was on the table and they were given clothing and there was support for their college educations. But I don't know if you've had that experience or you know someone else, but at the core of belongingness and love is to hear, not just to see it actions, but someone to say from their heart, I love you. Now, and the good news is their lives developed, each in different ways. They found, modeled from others, if they would admit it or not, but one of the things that my father and father-in-law have in common is that they were very observant. Father-in-law's still alive. He's very observant to listen. He may not always respond in what he's observing and filtering, but if they knew it or not, they found ways by what they were observing with people loving them with words and actions that gradually over their lives, yes, they started to hug more and hug longer. They would add their note with their spouses and the greeting cards, the word love. And they would also, if they knew it or not, would directly or indirectly, starting in their interactions with family and a sense of belongingness, offer words of caring and compassion. So as they were loved, they learned to love others. And is that not a message with God and Jesus Christ for all of us? I don't know about their baptisms. They've never shared that story with me, but we know at the core of baptism is a sense of infinite and almost unspeakable belongingness and love. And while I don't know their stories, I can tell you that around baptism, if we are baptized as an infant, as a youth, as an adult, it is a clear sign of God's loving presence in the living Christ and the mystery of the Holy Spirit to affirm us, to receive us, and to know that we can journey in deeper relationship with God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and others. Belongingness and love through our baptisms. The founder of Methodism, along with his brother Charles, John and Charles Wesley, described baptism as a means of grace, and that it was convenient grace in this act, that in baptism, even before we receive the waters and the liturgy and the promise of God and Christ to be with us, as we do that as public confession, that God knew us and loved us and was aware of us and loved us even before we were born and before we knew it. And that's power when we think about those that are received as infants, as youths, as adults in baptism. Do you remember your baptism? Or if not, if you were too young, has someone shared the story of baptism with you? The mysterious joy and power of that experience. And some describe it as unusual and unexpected. For me, there were some unusual and unexpected things. I was baptized when I was a teen, when I was confirmed at Ada First United Methodist Church. And I remember clearly looking out, as I am now, the baptismal font off to the right, and the pastor to my right, disangled from the font, and my parents around me, that as the pastor received the water and put it on my head and offered through God's power, love, and design to be baptized in the name of God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that as I looked out and I looked up, I felt and knew the love and presence of people who had been baptized before me, or may have been pondering themselves that maybe this might be a step that I want to take for myself or for my children, my youth, or for some other fellow friend or Christian that I know. And I also remember from the sky, I also remember looking up higher towards the rafters with a high ceiling in that church and feeling a sense of that scripture that we hear from Jesus, almost as if the Holy Spirit that we hear was like a dove, gently was lighting upon me, and that somehow I was loved beyond my imagination, beyond what I could admit or even could know or for share, but that I would receive that gift. I remember, and I treasure the baptism of my wife and our baby son together. They did that together. And to experience as they took that on as a mother and a son, and to be part of that family, that immediate extended family, was an unbelievable experience of God's loving presence. Now it's important to know that the baptism, we understand this in Protestant tradition, we understand this in United Methodist tradition, that it is a means of grace, that it doesn't save us, it doesn't bring salvation. Our salvation is coming into acceptance and receiving God and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit, and that baptism offers a means or a sign of that commitment and that covenant relationship. And I want that to be known, because there are people that I've experienced in my life that live in fear and fright that, my goodness, someone wasn't baptized and so they'll be damned to the eternal fires. What nonsense. And that they would still not be received into eternal glory as a child of God. So we have to be careful in the rites and the rituals and the traditions of baptism to make sure that we're grounding it all the way back to the truth. And a truth that tells us that in our baptisms or beyond our baptism, in all times and all places, we are loved and we are received. And there's no human-made ticket that grants us salvation or not. It is our own acceptance and the support of others in our acceptance of that, to enter into a loving relationship with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, in God's infinite love, was sent, was called to proclaim salvation through the one who would come, who would be born, the Messiah, to bring forgiveness of sins. And so John, we know historically in Scripture, baptized people in the forgiveness of sins, but in his humbleness and humility, knew his call and his place. You see, kind of in a seamless transition, then, as Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, called, this one who will come after me, who is greater than me, will baptize you not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And what an awkward but humbling experience. Can you imagine the responsibility of John and Jesus saying, no, you baptize me, for this is my Father's will. You see, God, through people in our lives, gives us opportunities to receive and to give back. And one symbol of that is in our baptism. It does not save us, but it is a sign of, hear me, does not save us, but it is a sign of salvation work in God's world, in our lives, to bring us into closer relationship with God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, with one another, and with Christians throughout the world. And I would say also seekers who are looking for and starving to hear and know the words, I love you and I belong, and that someone cares for me. And is that not a great entrance point and invitation for people into the life of the church? And to hear the words, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You see, as sons and daughters, we're not more easily able to hear that unless we hear it from our Father. And as we hear it from those in which we love and care for. The words, you see, were not just for Jesus, they are for all of us. You, God's creation, God's children, sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you. I care for you. And with you, I am well pleased. But yet, people still say, maybe you've had one this week, and said, "Lord God, well pleased with me? Me too? For the things that I've said? For the things that I've done? The things that I haven't said or the things that I haven't done? The sins of commission or the sins of omission?" We pack and we pile on these messages of not self-love, just not narcissistic love. But we pile on in an unhealthy way things that inhibit a self-love that is grounded in God's love for us. So I encourage you to let go of that. Unpack it. And remember that God can handle it. That regardless of what you've done and what you've said or what you've done or you haven't done, whatever it is, your life story, is that God is well pleased with you. And God loves you, and God has much in store for you in and beyond your baptism. Now, in part, and I close with this, how do I know this to be true? Historical fact. It's in the journals. It's within the confirmation and catechism of the Lutheran Church. With the great Martin Luther, the founder of Lutheranism, one of the most stalwart fathers, foundational fathers of organized religion, not by institution, but by sacrament and by action, mission, by faith, was a man who suffered great depression. Now, I don't know, but I believe that a lot of this depression was beyond his control. It was chemical, and he journals it. And he also journals how his wife remained steadfast in walking forward with him. There were times in his journal when he indicated that he was just about ready to give up on Christ. That in his depression and his loneliness and his sadness, he simply couldn't go on. As a son of God, as a brother in Christ, as God's creation, because he was so plagued with this illness. And in his writing, he said when he would get to those great depths, and they didn't have at that time the miracles and science that we do that cares for us, and pharmacology and counseling. He relied on his faith, and we too, in this modern day age, should always at the core rely on our faith, but even with the gifts of things. He would find a quiet place in his faith, and he would pray, and he would say over and over again, "I am baptized." Martin Luther's words, "I am baptized." And he would feel a sense of renewal, a sense of renewed strength, of courage to hold his head up high and go on to continue to be a reforming leader, to be a Christian, and to walk with one another in the journey through the highs and the lows. And is that not our story too? To remember our baptisms, and how we're cared for, that we're pleased. We're pleased for by God. We're loved by God. Some of you may not be baptized, and some of you, most, many, maybe all here, I don't know, but I don't want to assume that. But if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to talk with me. Talk with one of the pastors of the church. Talk to Joel Tremonte. Talk to Alice Walsh. Talk to others. Don Kraus. Talk to us as pastors. Talk to other lay brothers and sisters who have experienced baptism. And to talk about if this might be something that you want to do in your journey of faith. And so as we receive the experience of the reaffirmation of faith and knowing how God is well pleased with us and loves us, to hear the words, to absorb the words, remember who you are, remember who you belong to, and remember who you are becoming, with God being pleased with you and loving with you. I encourage those, again, that have not been baptized to follow with us in the reaffirmation of faith, page 50. And for those that have